SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast, in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat of Brooklyn, a bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, direct in traffic, some kind of fashion shake-up, along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, Carver High this afternoon. Mafia running it with Luke. I am your father. The rundown on a midweek Where Do You Hurt Wednesday. A double shot with Morenci this very hour. In the second hour, the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart, live from Toronto with Carver High. And then our buddy Brian Custer, the play-by-play announcer on the PBC boxing series on Prime. Had another big fight this weekend. I think he's doing one from Orlando and will make fun of all the teams that he roots for, like the Cowboys and Ohio State, who had really bad weeks. In the final hour, your boy Stewie from Read the Line, Keith Stewart, an amazing golf bettor as well. So we got the double stews on a Wednesday and the Bombers got it done last night to take a 2-0 lead in the ALCS. All rise. Aaron Judge with a bomb to Monument Park. The ghosts were swirling. And tonight, Queens, City Field, game 3 of the NLCS. As the Dodgers come calling to see the Metropolitans, Mike.
They certainly do. Happy Wednesday indeed here on Coast to Coast. And it is as you mentioned before, it is a golf Wednesday. Only a couple more weeks, I promise you. They're at TPC Summerlin this weekend for the Shriners out in Vegas.
Great
so
place.
Everybody loves being
that's
at TPC
Canelo
Summerlin.
Goals.
That's a great spot out there. So the guys will be there here today, and we'll get all the picks for the Shriners coming up here this weekend as Tom Kim's looking for the hat trick, Scotty. 3 in a row. He's won the last 2 times. Out in Vegas at the Shriners. So we'll see if he can finish that off this weekend. We do start, though, with the baseball. And yes, baseball in Queens tonight. We will get to that. But how about the Yankees last night? And yes, we're going to play that cut later from Judge. I like that line he gave you with, seemed like the ghosts from Monument Park were just pushing that thing out over the center field wall. Wasn't sure if he got enough of it. And it was just able to get there. He certainly did. His first home run of the postseason. Yankees win. They take a 2-0 lead into Cleveland. I think the thing for me, Scotty, over these last couple nights is Yankees are up 2-0. And does it feel like they really even played that well in those two games? Like they made a lot of mistakes. I didn't think Cole was very good last night. He battled through the first 4 innings. Like, I just don't think they played very well, and yet they're still going to Cleveland up 2-0.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of things I was surprised about. I'm actually not surprised Cole goes one on, one off when he pitches. He's good, then he's not. Like, he can be dominant and then bad. He went 4 1/3. He walked 4. Gave up 6 hits, but he only gave up a couple runs. And in his postseason starts, he's given up a run and he gave up 2 runs. I'll take that every time, even if it's 4 1/3. Bybee, on the other hand, I was very surprised how quickly, Mike, that he got the hook. But they were in trouble. And I thought Vogt had to make hard decisions, and he did. The one thing about the Guardians, obviously, that's killing them is they're leaving so many ducks on the pond. They just aren't hitting with runners in scoring position. I thought the biggest play of the game, in my view, was Rocchio's strikeout looking from Cole when he was almost done for tonight, that he got their hottest hitter. Let's face facts. Kwan and Rocchio are their, you know, only guys hitting. And that's just all there is to it.
That is all there is to it. Yankee bullpen was excellent again last night, and Vogt did have to use He used pretty much everyone except Class A, right? I mean, he threw everybody out there. He hasn't gotten to use Class A yet. He put Smith in very early in that game, which I thought was a great move, and it worked for him because he held the fort where it was. That's usually a guy that he uses towards the back end of the game. But I, you know, heading into Cleveland here, we said it yesterday, 4 out of 5 games for the Guardians to win. I don't see it. Could they get back to Yankee Stadium down 3-2? Possible. I could see Cleveland winning 2 of the 3 games out there. But getting the whole 4 out of 5, I don't think that that's going to be attainable. And if you're right about Cole with the good and the bad, if they ever did come back to the Bronx, Cole would be sitting there rested for a game number 6 and maybe on his good cycle, as you say, after a bad one last night.
Right. If you, you know, consider his outing bad, I mean, like I said, he wasn't sharp. He was not on, but he gave up 2 runs, and he did not cost them that game. He fought. No. He got the big strikeout when he needed it. And if he pitches, look, in a money game, I'm still very interested in handing a ball to him. In a money game, if it's a game 6, so be it. It is what it is. I'm interested in seeing how Schmidt does in game 3. Look, I said to someone today, if playing ball, if they don't win game 3, I mean, if the Yankees go in there and win that game with Schmidt on the bump and beat them in Cleveland, I mean, it is over. So, like, they should, that should be their attainable goal for tomorrow. Win that game and you're going to the World Series. There's no way they're winning 4 straight games against that team. They're not the Red Sox in 04. It's not happening. And you're not winning both games in the Bronx, game 6 and 7, with that team. You know, I have to be honest, Mike, I'm completely unimpressed with them at this point, and I'm certainly not afraid of them. And I heard all I could take that they're going to beat the Yankees and everything else on this show. I've already heard it on this show. So, you know, they're down 2 already. And I thought the first 2 games the Yankees did nothing. They just won.
They just won. They did make it happen. So 2-0, they're heading to Cleveland game 3. That's correct. They are better. Game 3 tomorrow, we will talk about that. And game number 3 tonight in Queens for the Mets and the Dodgers as they head east, tied 1-1. Severino and Walker Buehler tonight. Just like last night in the Bronx, crisp, cool October night at Citi Field. I mean, I'm tired of listening to 600 questions get asked to Roberts about Ohtani. I'm ready to go here tonight for a big game number 3 on the NL side.
Listen, this team has been unbelievable, and they have been brutally good in that ballpark. And they, you know, swept the Phillies right out of the DS. See you later. They played, you know, they went to Philly. They won that game. And then they came home and they won both games, and that was all she wrote. And the Phillies were packing the glad bags. So, you know, I know everyone thinks the Dodgers can do whatever, wherever, and win whenever they want. And just, you know, their 9-0 game 1 certainly was impressive. And then game 2, they got their ass beat. So now we go to Queens. Let's see what Severino can do. Look, I think Buehler has got, definitely has the ability to have filthy stuff. Like, he can be great at times, without a doubt. But he's never been the same pitcher that he was after 2 Tommy Johns. We've talked about it with Gabe, and I just don't think he's what he was. So they have to get to him. They got to hit him. They got to take him on. And, you know, the Mets lineup is brutal. I think they're very tough. I think all the at-bats are good at-bats. They got guys that can hit. They put the ball in play. They smack it in the openings. They get it into the gaps. They get it down the line. They hit home runs. Every guy counts on the guy behind him or in front of him to get it done, and they do it. They've been unbelievable. So I have to believe that they can continue that at Citi Field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 East, 7 West, along all of our outlets, TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, satellite radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. You catch Gabe Morency on Coast to Coast every day. Thank God for that. A double shot live from Vancouver. And tonight, your Dodgers start up 3 games in Queens. And it is, just so you know, it's chilly here. It's perfect. It's clear. It'll be cool. Not freezing, but cool. Very cool for the games. The weather's not going to change. You're not seeing, I believe, in those 3 games here, any rain. It's supposed to be pristine for like the next 8-10 days around here. It's been, we haven't seen rain in a month in New York. It's been unbelievable. It's been like Indian summer. So weather's not an issue in either that series or the Yankees, even though they've gone to Cleveland now. I don't know what the weather's like there, but here it's been perfect. So tonight you're going to have Bueller and Severino.
Yeah, Bueller and Severino. I would expect some runs to be scored tonight in tonight's baseball game. All the talk about Walker Bueller and his struggles, you know, we've talked about it a lot. I thought he was actually pretty good against San Diego. His stuff was pretty good. He had a lot of bad luck early in the baseball game. He's been hit or miss. Like, Bueller's gotten better over the last month or so. And you look at Severino. Severino's given up three or more earned runs in 5 straight starts. So, and you look, Mookie Betts hits him pretty hard. Otani's only faced him 6 times, but is 3-for-6. Conversely, for the prop players tonight, Alonso absolutely murders Walker Bueller, just for the record. He's got, he kills it. I think he's got 4 home runs in his career against Bueller. Big game, Scott. You know, big 3 games here. I think, you know, it looks like this series is going to go 6 or 7. We'd be, you know, I'd be really surprised. I'm sure you would be too if anybody won 3 straight games here at Citi Field. It's a madhouse. It's going to be a circus. You got Grimace. You got Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. And it's going to be a big party there. But once the game gets going, you know, home field in baseball doesn't really mean very much. Really looking forward to this game tonight, Scott. You know, I'm not going to say it's the be-all, end-all game, because it isn't, right? The series is tied at 1. There's a lot of racetrack left, man. This race has just gotten started. But if you're the Dodgers and you can win with Walker Bueller, it'd be big. And if you're the Mets, you really want to get this game going because you got Yamamoto and Flaherty coming back at you after this, Scott. And I'll just throw this out there looking ahead. The Dodgers won't have any pitchers left. Like, if this series goes 7, Walker Bueller will be starting game 7. So them, you know, game 2 really was so big, man. If the Dodgers could have gotten, you know, the up 2, they'd have a little bit more to work with right now. But you could argue the Mets have a slight advantage in the series right now, Scott, due to the home field, the 3 games in a row at Citi, and the pitching situation for the Dodgers. If the series goes 6 and 7 games, it would have to be a bullpen game, Scott, in game 6, and it would be Walker Bueller in game 7. So I'm just stating, you know what I mean? I think it's it is a big game, you know, to sort of get the leg up, especially if you're the Dodgers, bro. If you can get up 2-1 and you're sending Yamamoto to the hill, who I have a lot of confidence in, you're going to be feeling pretty good about yourself. So can't wait for this game, Scott. It's another one of these days where 8 o'clock Eastern can't get here soon enough, 5 o'clock Pacific. And I'm like, damn, it's still early. Clock is ticking slow today.
Let me ask you, so you know what the Mets have done since the beginning of June. They have had the best record in baseball since the beginning of June. The Dodgers beat the Padres in a great series in 5 games. The Mets beat a Phillies team that everyone thought the Dodgers were going to be playing for the pennant. Are you willing to admit now that the Mets are dangerous and they worry you, that they're as good or better than the Dodgers? And better than anyone in baseball. They have been.
I think right now, yeah, obviously they are. They don't quit, right? Lindor's amazing. They don't quit. They've got a ton of resiliency, this baseball team. And I've been on record. Listen, if the Yankees are playing well right now, well, they're not playing great, but they're winning baseball games. But whoever they play will be a lot tougher for them in the World Series. Like, whether it would have been San Diego, you know, whether it would have been if it's the Dodgers or if it's the Mets. So, yeah, I'm not dismissing the Mets at all. Cleveland just don't have enough talent. You know, like, you need players, right? You know, you can get away with small ball and pitching for a while. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. And yesterday, we talked about it, Scott, and I said, the Guardians don't have any room for error when they play the Yankees. And what do? They literally make, you know, they drop a pop fly in the infield in the first inning to sort of set the tone of that baseball game. But, yeah, obviously, the Mets are dangerous as hell. And if they get to the World Series, I think they can beat the Yankees. I think the Yankees and Mets would just be a total toss-up. Like, yeah, super fun.
I think the Browns, when you think of the football team, they don't have a quarterback that's doing anything, and that's kind of what Cleveland, their best player is Class A, and I think J-Ram, but Class A, they can't even get him in the game. They haven't been able to get him on the mound. They want to get to him to win games.
Early starts.
To finish games. They are lacking. You'd say they don't have talent. They don't have that quarterback. They don't, just like the Browns. They got a terrible quarterback.
Have big play. They don't really have a lot of big play capability.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sort of like a football team, right? If they fall behind, they're screwed. They need to get the lead, then suffocate you. I mean, game three is obviously massive there. We've noticed, though, guys, and I don't know the number, the legitimate number right now, but how many comebacks have there been in the playoffs? Not many. Like, if you look at the Major League Baseball playoffs, I mean, the Mets and Phillies series is pretty wild earlier in the series. But you look at the theme, Scott, like San Diego and L.A. and the Mets in L.A. so far, whoever puts up that number first wins after. Like, first runs are critical, yeah, man. Like, they really are. You wouldn't figure in today's day and age, oh, whatever, we're only down 3-0 or whatever after two, don't worry about it. It sets the tone, bro. Whoever gets, you know, whoever busts out early seems to win these games.
Do you think that Cleveland will win that third game? Or do you think the Yankees go in there and go up 3?
Yeah, I think Cleveland will dig down deep, find a way. This, you know, their series and the season is on the line here.
No.
Cleveland are obviously screwed.
No, they won't.
They're done.
They will not do that.
I think they got a win in them, Scott. They got a win in them.
I am not having any wins from Cleveland. All right, we got another shot with Morenci coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're talking to Morenci. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers were down 2-0 to the Flyers at home, and they ended up winning that game 4-3. They didn't cover on the puck line. I'm with you. I thought that they would come out last night because they had been 0-3 and looked terrible. Couple interesting things there. The story of like what's wrong with them. And then the kid that you're talking about, the Russian from the Flyers, that not
only Mishkov.
Mishkov, that he's a stud, but that you were talking about how in Russia, in the K, because of the war in Ukraine and because everyone has banned them from being in international competitions and everything else, that they're saying, okay, we can play that game too. How about you're not having any of our players play anywhere in the NHL or otherwise? What is going on there?
Yeah, Russia used to be, you know, obviously we grew up in an era where Russians couldn't play in the National Hockey League, right? For people that are younger, don't realize, you know, there were no Russians in the league. And it didn't start to happen until the 80s and then, you know, the flow into the 90s. But, yeah, because of the geopolitical stuff going on, Russia cut off from the international sports world. They became the KHL, which is their professional league. They used to be more open to, you know, playing the KHL for a year and go. Like, they didn't mind because it made Russian hockey look good, all their players in the NHL. Now they're like, why are we providing talent for countries that hate us, in their opinion, right? And so they tightened up letting players go. So, yeah, this long story short, this Mishkov guy that the Flyers got, I bet him to win Rookie of the Year. He's not a lock to win. He was the favorite to win. But the thing with Mishkov, he's sort of like a basketball player, Scott, that's coming over from Europe that already played in the Euro League. You know? Like, is it a step up playing in the NHL? A bit. But he's not coming from the Guelph Storm, bro. He's not coming from the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Right.
He's coming from the KHL. He plays for Russia. He's playing. The KHL has a lot of, you know, a lot of former NHL guys, a lot of good Russian players, obviously. So he's played in an elite hockey league as a kid already and he's already proven he can play against men. So showing up in the NHL, he's going to have a little bit less of a learning curve. His learning curve, and he scored two goals last night, guys. So he scored his first two goals of the season last night against the Oilers, sort of his coming out party. For him, Scott, his biggest learning curve will be dealing with Tortorella, right? Tortorella's a hard ass, so he's going to have to play at both ends of the rink. He can't coast around when he doesn't have the puck. Otherwise, he won't get ice time, but so far, so good. Tortorella loves him. The Flyers love him. Like I said, he delivered last night. As far as the Oilers, I don't know, Scott's bizarre world. They did the same thing last year, and they got their coach fired. I mean, if people remember, the Oilers lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. They also started off the season like 4-10 or so, right?
Right.
And they got drilled early in the week. If you look, though, Scott, and everybody, you know, right now, there's money to be made betting against a lot of these, the favorite teams that people thought were going to just assume were going to be really good. Edmonton wins their first time. Vancouver still haven't won a hockey game yet.
Colorado.
Right? Colorado were a train wreck, Scott. Like, these guys, like, they might as well, like, have a pie line in the net. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when the goalie doesn't show up to the beer league and, you know, they tie, like, a fake goalie to the net, it'd be better than what Georgiev is giving them right now. Like, dude, like, they got problems giving up goals. And they're still favored like this. Vegas is another one. Vegas, I don't, you know, Vegas is not the same team that they used to be. Saw the Capitals step up last night. So underdogs have been barking, bro, in the NHL so far this year.
Yeah, I hit that Capitals game last night. Do you think the Bruins go to the Ball Arena tonight in Denver and beat them?
You can't bet on the Avs the way they're playing right now. I mean, they're just systematically flawed. Defensively, they're terrible. They have bad, bad goaltending. And you're getting plus money with the Boston Bruins. It's a classic example of, all right, the Avalanche are being overpriced right now. We can't dispute it. Pittsburgh Penguins -120 tonight at home against the Sabres. I don't know, dude. Betting on the Penguins game, Scott, seems like in the short of my life.
That's
I don't know what you're going to get from this team.
That's stressful.
Night to the other.
I think they'll win tonight. Are you betting on either of these college football games tonight?
Yeah. You know what? We went big on the over last night with New Mexico State on the way out, and it actually hit, saved it. It was a terrible night of football, Scott. Like, seriously, some of the worst football games you're ever going to watch in your life. Western Kentucky and Sam Houston State, they're actually playing for second place in the Conference USA. Big game. Give me the Bearcats, Sam Houston State, money line on their home field tonight. And as crazy as this is, I'm going to hold my breath. Give me the UTEP Miners +7.
0-6 UTEP at home.
God,
buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, let's get back into this game in the Bronx last night.
Yes, let's do that. Of course, the Yankees take game number 2, 6-3. They lead the series 2-0. Heading back to Cleveland, we've been waiting the entire postseason. Now, to be fair, I mean, look, the Yankees have only played, what, 6 games? There's plenty of times you go 5.5 games without a home run, but it is Aaron Judge, and everybody wants him to homer now. Well, he finally did last night. Here it is, John Sterling, WFAN in New York.
Here's the 1-1. Judge, it's a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track near the wall. She's gone! Aaron Judge hit the ball so high you wondered. It came down in Monument Park. It's a Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Your boy, John Sterling.
John obviously has his moments. I'm going to miss some of that stuff when he's gone. Here comes the Judge and all that stuff. That stuff's got its place, and it's pretty good. So Judge, by the way, did you realize that Judge, that was his, I think it was his 13th or 14th postseason homer for the Yankees, or his 12. He's right in that 12. When the hell did he hit the other ones? I guess all those years they lost to the Astros, right?
Yeah.
I guess he hit a few. You don't remember too many big
They've never won big with him ones here.
That he's had. Maybe this is finally his year. I've got a couple actually for you from Judge. Here's the one you referenced earlier, him talking about the ghost of Monument Park helping him finally get off the schneid last night.
Hey, Aaron, what were your emotions as you went around the bases?
What's up, Ed? I was excited and went out. You know, you never know on these windy, chilly nights what that ball's going to do when you hit the center here. But the ghosts were pulling it out there to Monument Park, that's for sure. But to add two more runs, you know, trying to keep Weaver out of the game there, you know, try to save him for game three a little bit. But
used him anyway.
No, just happy to add a couple more runs.
He gave up a homer, too, late. But yeah, it's the first run he's given up. But either way, Judge had a – he had another RBI in the game, and he sack flied and then hits a home run. So all those signs are very positive. You know, it was the same way with Betts. Once Betts knocked one out, then the next day he hit another one. So you know what? I actually think that Judge is going to terrorize Cleveland in Cleveland. I think he's going to smack it out of there. And, you know, they are rolling the dice with pitching to him. They're, like, loading the bases to pitch to him. That didn't work. And then you pitch to him again in the seventh inning, and he iced the game. They were in that game until that home run.
They were. And you bring up the moment where, yes, they intentionally walked Soto to pitch to Judge. And, you know, I was doing the radio show last night, the Carver and Lisi show. And while that was happening on the air, and I was, you know, you think about it at first, you're like, what the hell are they doing? Why would you want to pitch to Judge? But think of the situation. Like, there's one out. You know, Judge does hit into a lot of double plays. It made sense on the surface. And they did end up giving up the sack fly, and the Yankees scored a run there. And then he would get – so he drove in half the runs last night. He had three of the six RBIs.
That doesn't make sense to me. I get it, what you're saying, but I am – right. Listen, you are dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight.
I agree.
When you load the bases to pitch to a guy that drove in 144 runs. He is the MVP. He had bigger numbers than Ohtani in everything. In everything. All I know is you do not do that. I don't care who you are. It didn't work. Okay? So it did not work. He still drove in a run. Any run driven in is a run driven in. I don't care who does it.
No, as much as Vogt defended it after the game, it only works if he got the double play ball.
That's right.
Which he didn't get. So therefore, it did not work for him whatsoever. One more from Judge, because I thought this was pretty cool from him. Of course, look, he's heard some of the negativity. Can't, you know, what's going on? Can't hit in the postseason. Why aren't you driving in runs? But because he's been here from so long, he understands how it works in New York. Here's Judge.
How hard was it to learn what you just said, to not dwell on it, especially when you know the crowd is anticipating, hoping for a home run every time that you get up there?
You just got to stay focused on what you can control. You know, I've been booed here plenty of times. There's been a lot of legends that played here that have been booed. It's just part of it. You can't focus on that. You know, you got to go out there, and they want to see you win. They want to see you do well, and you just try to focus on what you can control. And what I can control is what I do in the box and what I do on the field, and all the other stuff, you just kind of ignore it and go out and have fun.
Listen, I think he's a great player and a great captain. I think he handles the media. In my view, he's way better than Jeter was with the media. I thought Jeter's relationship with the media was stone cold, ice cold. And he never gave him anything ever. I think this guy is very hospitable, cool, friendly, laughable, jokes around, smiles. He's cool to people. He's nice to people. It sells. It sells. When you're a D, you're a D. There's no getting around it. If you never say anything, like when you watch Belichick do those pressers, we laugh when we watch him, but he never gave anybody anything, and it was just a waste of time. And I thought he was a D, and I just thought it was just a waste of time. I want people that are, you know, I'll even listen. I think Jazz Chisholm has been awful in the postseason.
Yeah.
But I'll give you this. His personality sells, man. Let him do the interviews. Even Verdugo. Verdugo sucks, but he had a big double and drove in runs. And then he does interviews and has fun doing them. He's cool. It sells. It works. There's nothing worse than players that won't talk and don't say anything. And it's like talking to a garage door.
But I think that's also what makes him so great, is when you hear him say something like that, we know how hard it is to play in this town. And you know that you could be the best of the best. And there's still going to be moments in your career where things aren't going right for you. And they're going to let you know. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. They're still going to let you hear it. And it's being able to do what he just said, not worry about it. Because I think there's a lot of guys that do come here, maybe not even just playing for the Yankees. You don't take it in any sport. And it gets to them that, and they think about it and they go, oh, why are they booing me? I'm such a good player. I've done this. I'm an all-star. I've done that. It doesn't matter. They want it done now. Judge gets that part of it, and that's why he could block it out and still do what he did last night. Some guys turtle from it, and they want to get out of town, and they don't perform. That's how
it goes. Some guys argue with fans like Sirianni, and then they force him to go do a presser and apologize because he's such a loser. And then there's guys like Judge that says, I've been booed plenty of times. This is New York. I will say this. I've said it over and over. There is no place that even pales in comparison to New York. Everyone thinks they got a great sports town, great fans. I've heard all this Philly, Boston. I heard it all. There is nothing that compares to New York, and there never will be, including Los Angeles, which is candy ass. Why do you think I call it Lipstick City? They only show up when they're winning. Okay, here's the deal. In New York, have you ever seen people get that rabid, that crazy over like an RBI single? I mean, they'll have sex with one another out in the stands. They go crazy. They go absolutely, when they score, when he hit a home run. I mean, there's like 600 cans of beer flying through the air with beer and people just partying. There's nothing like it. Nothing can compare to New York. You don't like me? Good. You don't like New York? Good. You know why? You lose on both counts. You lose.
And there's nothing like winning here. There hasn't been a lot of it the last 15 years, but there's nothing like winning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Mike, like when the Phillies were winning against the Mets and they're all waving their red towels, everybody, you know, the same thing at Petco, yellow towels, Dodgers are winning 9-0, blue towels, New York, guy hits a home run. There's people eating each other. There's literally cannibalism in the outfield stands. And there's people just douching each other with cocktails and beers, people making out, people jumping on top of each other, having sex. Like, I've never seen anything like it. It's like they're animals. They're animals. You'll see it tonight at Citi Field, too. It's the same thing. I don't think it's quite as intense as the boogie down, but it's right there. It's 1-2. 1-2 punch right there. You'll see it. And all these other ones... Honestly, like, I'm telling you, I lived there in L.A. for 12 years. I've worked in Philly. I've worked in Miami. I've worked in Atlanta. You're all candy ass. You're not fooling me. Like, Atlanta, they gave him another Super Bowl. I'm sure we'll talk about it later. They gave him another Super Bowl in Atlanta. Nobody even goes to Falcon games. Like, but they just keep giving them Super Bowls down there where nobody cares. They care about Georgia football. That's it. And I'm not wrong about that either. And Philly, here's the difference. In New York, when they're losing, and everywhere else, you hear a pin drop when you're losing. In New York, you don't hear pin drops. You hear booing and cussing.
Yeah, there's we are going to do this later, so I'll probably just save it for there. But there's two places they keep giving Super Bowls to. Atlanta and Santa Clara. Like, I just don't know why we need to keep going to these places over and over again. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But we'll do that later on. We have that story. All right, here's Boone. Yankees going to Cleveland. Game 3 is tomorrow. Yankees need to keep it rolling when they get there.
Aaron, what's the feeling heading into Cleveland with a 2-0 lead?
Win.
I mean, certainly, like right now, it always feels good to you know, to get wins in a series and in a playoffs. Obviously, knowing we have a day off tomorrow, we'll travel tomorrow, so we'll enjoy this tonight. But, you know, it's just you got to keep moving. You know, we need two more here, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. You know, we just talked about it, it's one game at a time. And, you know, excited to hand Clark the ball in game three and hopefully try and get another one.
You can kind of tell watching him in the dugout and even in these press conferences, I think there's more pressure on that guy than anyone else. I know Judge has never been in a World Series, wants to be there. Boone has been dragged, not just by us, but by a lot of people in this town for the last few years. We've all said he should have been fired. We all said he shouldn't be the manager. You can tell he could sense it. Like, he's close. Like, he's close to finally getting there after all these years.
Two wins.
And he seems so tense and so uptight that I can't wait to, you know, see him actually open up a little, you know, just let it all go if it actually happens, because, man, he's tense knowing how close he is to finally doing this.
Listen,
six wins
you're
away.
You're right. He's been obviously stressed out, and he's failed miserably in the playoffs, and they have failed miserably. But listen, I'm telling you, they are flat out better than this team, and they got all the superstars, and they need to go in there and win. Go in there and win game three, and it's all over but the shouting. You know, all this, it'll be 2-2 before you know it. I mean, they're going home. That doesn't mean shack to me. Go in there and win the game and be done with it. It'll be all over but the shouting, because they are better. And I've been hearing about, as I said on this air and everywhere else, I hear how, they won the Central. They have one of the best records all year. No one cares about the Cleveland Guardians. They were winning all summer long, literally. They had one bad month. They had five good months. They had five good months, and not one person on the face of the earth gave a rat's ass. No one.
It's funny, and you
right
say this all the time.
Too.
So I'll tee you up for this, because you always
They're
say this.
Twins.
I saw a story this morning. MLB playoff ratings are the highest they've been since 2017 this year. And why is that? And you always hear people grumble about big market. You want to know why they're the highest? Because you have both New York teams and the Dodgers still in. That's why they're the highest since 2017.
And the Padres teams. And the Phillies have all the superstars.
Right. That's why they're the highest. And I'm nothing against Cleveland, but it's not because the Guardians are in
no
it.
No one
that's
cared
for sure.
About the Royals, Tigers, and Guardians. That's a fact.
No.
Hate me all
Small
you want.
Markets.
Hate me all
Small
you
markets.
Want.
Small markets.
And by the way, he said they're traveling. It's like a 90-minute flight, literally. I mean, you go up, you go
well,
down.
Well, that's why
you're in Cleveland.
They actually, they're doing what they did in the Kansas City series as well. Some teams will leave after the game that night, right, and get in late. Yankees are actually leaving this afternoon, sleep in their own beds, take the 90-minute flight at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and then go over to Cleveland. It's not like flying to the coast like the Mets and the Dodgers are doing. That's a much different travel situation that they have.
Do they have like a Four Seasons there or a Ritz? I doubt it.
I don't know.
Series
odds now.
The Holiday Inn Express in Cleveland.
Yankees are minus 800 to win the series. Cleveland's plus 550. Major league teams that take a 2-0 series lead in the best of seven have gone on to win 84% of the time. 76 out of 91 opportunities. Yankees looking to become 77 with the 2-0 lead.
I mean, we all know what's going to happen here. Let's just
Game
stop
three.
With all this other
How
nonsense.
About this tomorrow? This starts while we're on. This is the first game tomorrow, 5 o'clock East in Cleveland for Clark Schmidt. And the Guardians did just announce moments ago Matthew Boyd will pitch for them. So Schmidt against Boyd. Yankees right now are minus 115 with a 7.5 total. Small favorite for the Yankees on the road.
I'm not changing anything ever. Every game, if they play three there, I'm betting on the Yankees
so
every game.
You sound like they're not even coming back to the Bronx. You think 2 out of 3 in Cleveland and the Yankees are going to win it in Cleveland. 2 out of 3
Why?
In Cleveland.
Why not?
That's it. I think it's going to happen too. I think they'll
let's
win two out of three.
World Series where we belong.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Luke Amilpala just told us that because Boyd's going Carver High, what's the plan with the lineup for the Yankees?
Well, there may be some changes in tomorrow's lineup from what you've seen over the last couple of days. With a lefty going, there's talk that maybe Wells. Now, I think if Wells had been hitting, it wouldn't have mattered, but Wells has been awful. He's hitting like under 100. He strikes out almost every time he goes up. So it's an opportunity, I guess, because Boone loves Trevino, to get him a start with a lefty on the mound. Stanton, you'd probably want to move up to the four anyway because he's been hitting and there's a lefty going. So I think you'll see some moving and shaking with the now. I'm sure he's still going to play Verdugo because Verdugo's actually been hitting. So even though Verdugo's a lefty, I don't think it'll be that significant. Maybe just Trevino for Wells, Scotty. I don't think you're going to see anything else besides that.
All right. Now, what about in Queens tonight?
Queens tonight, game number three between the Mets and the Dodgers. Series tied 1-1 as they head back to Queens. Here, let's start with Francisco Lindor. Opened up game number two with a leadoff homer to set the tone for the Mets. He loves the pressure of the playoffs. He's having a great time.
I thank the Lord for helping me be able to contribute.
He's in on it?
In the postseason.
He's in.
There is a lot of pressure. And that's pressure. It's a blessing in a way, you know, because I've sat home at this time of year and it sucks. So to be in this position right now, I think it's fantastic. It's fabulous.
There you go. Yeah. So let's get it on.
It's not fun sitting at home this time of year, that's for sure. Francisco has felt that in the past. I watched all 12 minutes of Dave Roberts yesterday at Citi Field. I watched all 12 minutes of his press conference last night. Nine of it was spent on these guys constantly asking him about what's wrong with Ohtani. That's it. I mean, almost every single question was why isn't Ohtani hitting with nobody on base? Remember, he's hitting with guys on base.
He's
not hitting with nobody on bases when he's not hitting. Here's Roberts.
Is there any thoughts about shuffling the lineup for the rest of the series?
No, there isn't. I just think that, you know, early on, it's just funny how things change where there was a lot of concern about Shohei not being able to get hits with the runners in scoring position. And now we're all trying to find ways that he's have to get guys on base so he can hit, right? So I kind of find that comical a little bit. So I think that I don't think anyone can predict who's going to get on base in game three or game four.
Yeah, well, he's not hitting when no one's on base, and that's a fact. So that's just all there is to it. He's been struggling worse than Judge. Let's face facts. That's just the reality of it. And so is Will Smith. He's not hitting either. The only guy that started hitting was Betts. And, you know, obviously, they have dangerous hitters. Freeman can be dangerous. I think Teoscar Hernandez is dangerous. And then Muncy can be dangerous. But you can't tell me that Ohtani looks good. And it is a problem if he's not hitting. If he's an out every time he goes to the plate, it's a problem.
It is a problem if it's an out every time he goes up. Now, Gabe gave you some of these earlier, and I always like to give them as well. Now, you saw a Judge breakout last night. I wouldn't be surprised with Severino on the mound tonight if maybe you did see something from Ohtani, whether that space is empty or not. 3-for-6 with a home run off of him. Also, Betts, 11-for-34. Remember, Betts, that was a lot of that was when he was with the Red Sox, and Severino was with the Yankees. So Severino and Betts have seen each other quite a bit in the past. On the other side, he wasn't kidding about these Alonso numbers against Walker Buehler. 5-for-14, four of those five hits home runs for Alonzo off of Walker Buehler.
And a tater.
So I think we have Alonzo tonight on the card for the homers. Lindor is 1-for-2 with a homer off of him. How about the Winkman, who I know is always a big price? 4-for-15 with 2 homers off of Walker Buehler in his career.
Let's go.
Jesse Winker. So he's hit him as well. So I think we have a few guys that maybe we can ring the bell with. When we come back, I'll give you all the numbers for tonight for the Mets and the Dodgers. And you can give us a little. Who do you think is going to win game number 3?
No, I mean, listen, it's the same thing. You already know where I'm going. It's New York.
Sounds like the Mets.